It's time for our weekly view from the middle, from Tulsa, where he saw some interesting games. Now, literally in the center of the country in Kansas City, a couple of dandies set for tomorrow. Follow his work, USA Today, usatoday.com, online, at Twitter. It's at George Schroeder. George, always appreciate the time. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Awesome. Love this.
Yeah.
So Friday, you saw three laughers, Kansas, Baylor, Michigan State roll, the nail biter, SC knocking off SMU, that Elijah Stewart three to put the Trojans ahead, miss at the end. So was it nice to at least get one game go down to the wire?
It was. It really was. You know, it'd be kind of nice see more, but you know, I thought the tournament rebounded pretty well. I thought in the second
yeah.
round, after what people had kind of complained was a boring tournament. I thought that was a little bit unfair and a harsh description, but it had been kind of seen as that, I think, after the first round, and I thought it rebounded really nicely.
Yeah, well, sometimes people forget that the 2 doesn't always get beat by the 15. Sometimes it's a blowout. You there in Big 12 country, then we had Kansas, Baylor, Michigan State. Their fans travel well. SMU had 29 wins.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious to see who shows up. We know Jayhawk basketball is a magnitude program. Baylor's played very well. Was there, I guess, a fan base that was particularly represented, or with the schools that are that strong, that consistent, was it kind of a nice blend of everybody?
Well, I mean, I think there was it was a decidedly Jayhawk crowd. I don't know what it is. It's about 200 miles from Lawrence, Kansas, to Tulsa, maybe 180, something like that, 3-hour drive. But from the border, it's, maybe an hour. And obviously, Kansas is not a program that is, limited to the city of Lawrence. It's,
sure.
it's a state program. And so when you couple the proximity with the fact that the Jayhawks, everybody knew that they were going to have a 1 or a 2 seed and that they were going to play in Tulsa in the first, they could have had a 3 or a 4 seed and they were going to play in Tulsa. So everybody has understood for weeks,
right.
maybe months, that they were going to be in Tulsa. The combination of those things produced a crowd that, especially Sunday, was it might as well have been Allen Fieldhouse South in a lot of respects. Now, nothing is the fog, but
right.
And so it was clearly a Jayhawk, clearly a pro Jayhawk crowd. So Michigan State was playing a virtual road game. Well, that's kind of what happens most of the time in NCAA tournament play these days in the first and second rounds. And I don't have a real problem with that because, it's something you earn through the course of the season.
No, I agree, but a lot of Rock Chalk Jayhawk. Continue with it.
By the way, we had the opposite situation when South Carolina played in Greenville, South Carolina, as a 7 seed against the 2 seed Duke, and upset them. Although you will have people in the state of South Carolina that will point out to you that that Greenville is not South Carolina country; it's Clemson country, and that is decidedly true. They call that area the Upstate.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Good info. Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. So let's get to Kansas, Michigan State. It was for people who only saw the final, there was an actual game with about 6 or 6.5 minutes left. But boy, that big three of Devontae Graham and Mason and Josh Jackson took over. George, what kind of on switch did they hit to just totally blow them out of the water?
Yeah, the first thing I would say was about 12 minutes left and a 1-point lead. I thought Josh Jackson, the 6'8 freshman guard forward, really hit the on switch you're talking about. And when he does that, he plays a different game than anybody else on the court. I mean, look, the Jayhawks have Frank Mason, the third senior point guard, who's, our USA Today's National Player of the Year. He's going to finish, 1, 2, or 3 in just about everybody's Player of the Year, and there's 4 or 5 of those things. He's really, really good, and he's their best player. But he doesn't have the highest ceiling. It's Josh Jackson, who's going to go out, obviously, after his freshman
sure.
season. He's going to be a top 5, 6, 7 pick in the NBA draft. I'd be surprised if he wasn't a top 5 pick. And he's got athletic ability that the other guys on the court that night on both teams did not have. Once he turned it on, offensively and defensively, but especially offensively, there was a sequence there where he basically retook control for Kansas. And then down the stretch, like you're talking about, it was him, it was Devontae Graham, and it was Frank Mason all together getting it done. But, you know, at that point, you just recognized Michigan State's a nice team. They played solidly. They got better over the course of the season. But Kansas is the kind of team that if they play like this, can win the whole thing. And the reason is because they're so ultra-talented. They're not deep, and they're not tall, exceptionally. Landon Lucas, the kid from Portland, who's now a senior, 6'11", you know, they can't afford foul trouble.
Nope.
And he's just a solid guy. He's not a star, but he's played better. But because of their guard play, and the, you know, if you include Jackson in there as a guard, they're good enough to beat anybody. And you saw that in that time frame you're talking about in that game.
Yeah, they had a gear many lack. Oregon's biggest clunker of the season came at Baylor. At that time, the Bears weren't even one of the 51 teams receiving votes in the poll, but they breezed in game one. Then, as you wrote, they haven't really had a very good recent run in the tournament, but having seen them with how good Jonathan Motley is in that bracket with the 1-2 gone, all of a sudden it's like, oh, right, Baylor, they're pretty dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, they could win the thing. There's no question. They could certainly win the East in Madison Square Garden this week. I think they're a little bit suspect because I don't think they play. They're not the smartest team in the history of the world. I don't think they're relentless. I think sometimes they play a little bit soft. But they're really talented and versatile. And in some ways, they kind of can remind you of an Oregon in the way they play, not just because they both have, you know,
green and yellow
uniforms, right? But, and frankly, Oregon has kind of gone a little bit away from the fluorescent uniforms this year. They wear that apple green a lot, right?
Right, so, right.
What do you call it? The green apple is what it looks like to me. But I like Baylor. I think they're talented. It's not a team I trust, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Talking March Madness with George Schroeder. He's in KC, Michigan, Oregon, Kansas, Purdue. So we heard all season, ACC's the best. But all of a sudden now, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, SEC have three left. ACC's got North Carolina. Is it just a crapshoot, or does what we've seen mean, you know, the numbers and the rankings all season were wrong?
Well, some of it is matchups once you get into the tournament and teams have a bad night or whatever, and other teams have a good night. But some of it shows, yeah, there's some reputational stuff that goes on during the regular season where we decide a league is down or one league is always this, that, or the other, and maybe it's not. You know, maybe it's not. I mean, how good was the ACC? I think it was pretty good. But, you know, you mentioned that they had nine teams in. I think you mentioned that.
Yeah.
North Carolina is the only team in the Sweet 16. Now, they could win the whole thing.
Right.
But if you watched that game against Arkansas in the round of 32, if not for a couple of odd non-calls. Now, look, they also outscored Arkansas 12-0 over the last 2 or 3 minutes to win. They were down 5. But if not for a couple of odd non-calls on consecutive plays on one end of the floor and then on the other end of the floor, the ACC might not have any teams. in the Sweet 16. I mean, that's how close it was. And it's not like Arkansas has been a, you know, some exceptional squad all year. They've been pretty mediocre against mediocre competition in the SEC. And I do think the SEC has been fairly mediocre. But you're right. You know, they've got a couple teams in the they've got three teams in. The Big Ten has several. You know, the Big 12 has a couple. The Pac-12 has the three teams you thought might be in it. And yeah, I mean, I think there should be some reevaluation. Will there be? Yes, until this time next year when everybody's talking about how, you know, the ACC's this side or the other. I do think this. I think the Big Ten has resuscitated its reputation to a certain extent. It was seen as down this year. I do think it was down, but it's pretty clear that several of their teams were getting better near the end of the year, and we've seen that reflected in the tournament.
Certainly. The Duck-Wolverine game, Michigan entered the Big Ten tournament as kind of a bubble team. They had a close loss to Northwestern, 11 losses, and then obviously that horrific incident at the airport. And they haven't lost since. Great point play. And I don't know, this whole they're playing with house money now, does that make them a little extra scary?
I guess. I'm not sure they're playing with house money now. I think they were last week, but I'm not sure
right,
they are
right,
now.
Right, right, that makes sense.
But they've won 7 in a row, as you noted, and they've won 12 out of 14. So their sort of surge actually began before the regular season ended. So they're the definition of a hot team that, you know, gets to March at the right time. And they're pretty good offensively. I think that's the thing. I'm not sure that their defense stands up, but they played better defense over the last, you know, few weeks. Look, I got to tell you, I like Oregon to beat them. I know that they're the hot, I know Michigan's the hot team. I know Oregon's not the same team as it was with Boucher. When I, you know, you and I have talked about this, I thought they could win the whole thing. In fact, probably would have been my pick to win the whole thing at full strength, regardless of whatever had happened in the Pac-12 tournament. And I think they probably would have won the Pac-12 tournament. And I think their ceiling has been lowered somewhat. Now, I'm not trying to limit them because they're still really talented and still really gritty, which is another piece of this whole deal. But you know, it's just harder for me to pick them to win the whole thing. I do think they're going to beat Michigan. I think they're going to meet Kansas probably in what, you know, could be a virtual road game. This is about 40 minutes from the Lawrence campus. And I think we'll see what happens on Saturday. You know, the Ducks in another regional final, can they get over the hump this time?
You know, you mentioned Oregon, and we've kind of concocted a theory of they're like a werewolf or a vampire. You got to put a stake through their heart or a silver bullet in them to put them down because they are very relentless. Even though their best player, Dylan Brooks, you know, struggled last game, I'm kind of all about, from a national point of view, you have colleagues, you know, you hear media reports, you talk to guys. How would you describe the reputation right now of Dana Altman? Because I think now, over these last couple years, he's kind of climbing the charts, and you're starting to realize what a really, really good coach he is.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, I do think people who cover basketball for a living have known that for a long time, but no question, I think what he's done at Oregon in building a program that appears to be sustainable, not
right.
Just kind of a one-year run now. I think that's – and look, Oregon has had some success at various times over the years, but they've never really been able to sustain it. And it sort of looks like – and obviously they got another good recruiting class coming in – that he's sort of built something that could last a while. And I think that's sort of – and doing it at sort of the Power Five, or in college basketball sometimes they call it the Power Six level – as opposed to being at Creighton, where he had built sort of all those fun mid-major March darling type of teams, I do think that's elevated his status and stature with people around the country.
All right, final thought for George Schroeder: Purdue and Kansas, a Boilermakers, a top 15 team in the preseason, and Oregon and Michigan. That seems like you got a nice draw there and can see some serious March Madness.
I sure hope so. I mean, it's the first thing that's fun for me is just to get to see, you know, so many people that I know from Eugene again. I got to spend some time during the open practice today talking with a bunch of guys affiliated with Oregon, media members, you know, people that are staffers, people like that. That's cool. But I do think that it could be two really good basketball games followed by, you know, the Midwest Final could be really good. I know the eyes of the country are sort of on those three blue blood programs in Memphis, you know, North Carolina, UCLA and Kentucky.
Kentucky, yeah.
But you know, and poor Butler is just, you know, getting no attention there, right? But I think this could produce some of the best basketball. There's a very good chance of that. So I hope that happens. And, you know, it would not stun me. I mean, I think Kansas probably comes out of here, but it would not stun me if I'm dead wrong and Oregon finds a way to do it. Because the one thing about those guys, and you mentioned it sort of put a stake in their heart, I think as multi-talented as they are, and they're not as good as they were before Chris Boucher went down, but as multi-talented as they are, it's sort of there's a relentless sort of mental toughness. They don't seem to get phased. That is a huge piece of who they are, and I think that's really important.
No, I agree, and I think that kind of starts at the top. George?
I'd agree with that.
Awesome information as always. You enjoy yourself. I think you're in for some terrific basketball. Travel safe back home, and I look forward to chatting with you again next week.
Well, thanks a lot. And by the way, Jerry Allen told me that I was the warm-up act, that he was coming on after me. So
he is.
Hopefully I've got it warmed up, and now you can get to the real stuff.
Mic drop. Have a good one, George.
See ya.
Take it easy.